SMA News Today, daily digital coverage of spinal muscular atrophy.
Welcome to the SMA News Today podcast, episode 3. I'm your host, Kevin Schaefer. Joining me today is my friend Josh Garrison from Chandler, Arizona. Josh is an area manager for Amazon and a graduate of the University of Houston who has SMA type 2. Josh, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Kevin. Really excited to be on today.
Absolutely. So we'll be talking today about Josh's occupation, his independent living, and his relationship with his fiance. So Josh, to start off, let's talk a little bit about your job at Amazon. So if you could just tell us what your job entails and how your major in college prepared you for this position.
Yeah, great question. I'm here for Amazon. Been with Amazon actually 18 months now. Started in June 2016. So basically work for a team called Central Flow. I'm a manager on the team, and basically what centralized flow does, all of the outbound operations for every Amazon fulfillment center in North America. So kind of a little bit of specifics of our team. We have what we call a flow lead that is assigned to a building, and that flow lead basically runs office, and they're partnering with operations on site real time. And basically, our goal is to ensure that the sites are able to meet and execute all of the demand, that is allocated to the site. So, you know, when orders come in, there's a big process assigning those orders to a specific building in the country. Once those orders are allocated to a certain building, we then manage the site's production capacity real time. So what this entails is, you know, basically we mathematically balance fulfillment center, because within each fulfillment center, there's multiple processes. You know, it's kind of a hierarchical process stream. So with that being said, when you have processes that affect other processes downstream, there's a major need to be mathematically balanced to make sure that these buildings are able to, you know, efficiently hit their volume goals and make sure that we, you know, fulfill all of our customer orders.
Absolutely. And at UH, you studied supply chain management, correct?
Yeah. So a little bit about my degree and kind of how this translated into Amazon. I do have a degree in supply chain management. I have an on strategic sourcing, which is basically corporate purchasing. Supply chain, it's a very crowded field of stuff. It kind of focuses on three major areas within most supply chain curriculums. Kind of the first big area is sourcing and procurement. So that's basically how do we effectively purchase and get it to the firm, depending on whatever we're producing or whatever our business is. And then kind of you've got another aspect of supply chain. It's a lot more operation manufacturing. So that's really where, you know, you look at, demand and supply integration, where you're basically looking at, you know, this is the demand for whatever item or service coming in. How do you match that with physical production capacity? And that's really what I leverage the most career now. And then the third aspect of supply chain is logistics and transportation. You know, how are you getting goods to and from customers? How are you going to effectively receive it? All that. So it's a really, really well-rounded degree. There's a industries that supply chain really feeds well into. And that's definitely why I made the choice. I was an accounting major for years. And I really loved accounting, really loved the math aspect behind it. But I just really saw supply chain. It was a lot better, not as competitive as accounting, a lot better pay. And like I said, there's a lot more options to whatever you want in supply chain versus accounting.
Absolutely. And also, I want to talk a little bit about how you manage the workload with having SMA. So with Amazon being such a high-profile company, what are some of the most challenging aspects of the job? And specifically, do you ever have to deal with fatigue related to your SMA?
Definitely agree with you there. Amazon is definitely a high profile company. You know, we're busy all year round. We operate 24/7. You know, we don't sleep. So, you know, basically, you know, my biggest challenge has been, you know, having high impact without 100% of the information needed to assess the situation. You know, coming out of college, you know, first year, 18 months on the job, you know, you want to make sure, you know, you make the absolute best decisions for the company and, you know, you want to have impact. But kind of due to our business model and how obsessed we are with, you know, meeting customer demand, you know, we have to have a huge bias for action at Amazon. And I'd say that that's where the biggest challenges for me have lied, you know, just being confident and able to make without having 100% of the information. Because, you know, it's your job. You don't want to be wrong. But the good thing about Amazon is, you know, they understand this and they invest so much in building our confidence as leaders so we can make better decisions. So I'd say that's a major challenge just from an overall standpoint. As far as that goes, I don't really have like a single major issue. With me, it's kind of all about adapting and really obsessing and focusing on the small details that I need to take care of to effectively get to work and work on time. What I mean by obsessing and focusing on small details is you know, you really have to plan out your entire day and, you know, really little happen and how you as an SMA individual are going to, you know, complete those tasks. So to kind of give you a little example of how I kind of independently is when I get up, I place everything that I need to take to work, that everything is in my range of motion. That way I don't have to have any help. I go down to my car, I place everything, I drive a Toyota Sienna minivan, and I've outfitted my trunk with all sorts of cup holders, organizers. So I go out to my car, I put everything in my trunk, and I drive to work. When I get out of, or when I, you know, park, I get all my, you know, various places in my chair. I know what doors work best for me. I know what elevators work best for me. So, you know, I try and make sure I pick the best doors and elevators. And, you know, like I said, it's kind of all about planning every detail within your kind of capability as much as you can. You know, I'd really like to emphasize, you'd be quite surprised if you identify a potential issue and work backwards. You know, maybe a certain door requires you to angle your chair a certain way or button. You know, you need to raise up a little bit and twist your chair a little bit or, you know, use a pencil or a pen. The biggest testament to my success is just looking at what I can physically do and then kind of trying to you know, kind of function on a daily basis, if that makes sense.
Sure, sure. Well, and I imagine, too, do you any work from home as well to kind of balance it out?
So I previously, when I was a team very similar to the team I manage now, I was able to work from home about one day a week. In this case, I've been in the production real time. So I do have to be on site every day. But the thing about my job, out of our peak season, like right now we're in peak season, you know, Black Friday through, you know, Christmas Eve is our peak season. So I'm working in 5 12-hour shifts right now, so about 60, 65 hours a week. But the great thing about Amazon is outside we work. For me, that's a perfect balance because I'm the kind of person who likes to work in sprints. They enjoy the longer shifts. And then, you know, having the ability to have 3 days off, I think it's the perfect amount of time to recharge and reset for the next week. So in terms of fatigue, you know, it's minimal, you know, it's definitely there. One of the best and most effective ways to manage that for me is caffeine and a whole lot of it. I'm definitely on Starbucks preferred customer list. with SMA, you know, I'm sure, you know, you have good days and bad days.
Sure.
And when you have the bad days, you just have to continue to do what you're doing, and don't stress about it, you know? I find that the more I focus on how tired I am, just unbearable, not really unbearable, let me rephrase, just the more uncomfortable it is. You know, you don't want to type that extra email or any of that, but if you want it, as long as everything gets done, you know, it's great. I've got a really, really wonderful and understanding leadership team that I work with, so, you know, that everybody understands, you know, some of the challenges that I face, and overall, it's great. It's caused any really major impediments to my employment right now.
Sure, and, you know, that definitely makes a big difference in terms of having that motivation and also a group of supportive people around you. So that's great. And along those lines, so in addition to working full-time for a large corporation, you've lived away from your parents since college, correct?
Right.
And so I'd just like to hear the specifics of how you've managed this and what was your living situation in college?
Yeah, absolutely. So I grew up in Houston, Texas, and on my the end of my junior year of high school, going into senior year, I was doing some research, like most, no desire to live at home. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be independent. I wanted to study on my own, make my own friends. You know, and the way I work, you know, it clashes with, you know, my parents' sleep schedule. You know, I study real late at night, get all my work done at night. So, you know, we can go to bed for their own job. You know, it just wasn't going to be a conducive fit for me. So it was almost a godsend. I was looking online and I typed in, you know, something along the lines of school, you know, full-time disability care, something along those lines. And University of Houston pops up on the first. And like I said, I grew up in Houston. The fact that University of Houston was popping up, I was like, wow, like, what the heck? Program and asked them, you know, like, hey, what do you guys do? And they were basically like, you know, we are 24-hour on service for disabled students. They have their own office within the dormitories, and basically they're there for all your needs, you know, bathing, you know, transferring, getting dressed and all that. And I was like, are you guys serious? But for me to be able to live independently on my own in college, I had the exact same college experience as, you know, typical American college student. You know, studied hard, had a really great relationship with my professors, fraternity, with the football games and all the social aspects of school, and was also able to do just quite a bit of networking and really feel like living from home. My parents lived about an hour away from University of Houston, so from a commuting aspect, that would have been really unrealistic. That would have taken a lot of time away from networking and you know, socializing and just kind of maximizing your experience. So that's kind of, you know, the life. University of Houston was a phenomenal school to go to, very urban school right in the middle of, and really, really connected to industry. So it was an incredible experience.
Sure. And, you know, it'd be great if we could have more universities around the country that adopt a similar practice for that and make it more inclusive for disabled students. But it's something I certainly hope to see, you know, in the next few years. I know it's something we've talked about a lot, but I'm glad that worked out for you really well. And so now, you know, you live with your fiance in Arizona. About that, is there any tips you have or things you've run into related to apartment hunting, living arrangements? What are some of the obstacles that you've faced in terms of finding a good, suitable environment that meets all of your needs physically?
Yeah. So, now that I live in Chandler, this will be my second home that I've had outside of college. So, you know, I had the apartment in in Houston, where I grew up and went to college. And then I got hired in Dallas for about a year, and then now I'm in Chandler. And, you know, basically kind of in each phase of this location, I kind of look for one key thing And for me, is the bathroom accessible and is it usable? That's my big finding at home. So kind of what's really great is I don't, you know, Sierra and I, my fiance, figured out them for me when it comes to bathing. So, you know, rather than having to go and spend $4,000 or $5,000 knocking out a tub, a rated roll-in shower with all the bells and whistles, we just look for apartments that have a typical walk-in, you know, that may have a 3 or 4 inch, you know, bump up to it. But then once you're in, it's flat. You know, that's your typical standard view. Is I just bought literally a $60 ramp from, you know, accessibleramps.com and the shower. And I basically have the same thing as a $5,000 or $10,000 roll-in shower.
Okay, yeah.
I'm able to get into the front doors. And as long as I'm able to get into the front door and the floor plan's not too funky where get in and then have to meet or anything, you know, I don't really need any other major specifics outside of, you know, the bathroom. Basically, you know, these days, you know, what people need to realize is apartments are pretty exciting if you did, and you kind of explain the expectations that you have for them if you're going to live there. So, for example, I live on the third floor right now. And I told them, I said, you know, if you guys are going to be doing any maintenance on the elevator or anything, I need to be properly notified ahead of time. That way I can make arrangements and figure out all the logistics. Well, a couple of weeks ago on our elevator, and they were nice enough to call me ahead of time, let me know. And they offered to put me in one of the downstairs for the time being. So really, you know, it seems very scary living in with, you know, a disability. But I'd say, number one, be practical. You know, what's the bare minimum that you need to function? Do you need all the bells and whistles? I mean, you know, that's going to vary depending on your needs and the, you know, severity of your disability. But if you think in terms of, you know, adaptive, you know, construction and all that, and as long as you're just cut, you know, your realtor, or whoever you're dealing with, as long as that relationship and understanding is there, I don't think people will have as many problems. I sure, you know, haven't really ran into major issues myself.
Sure, sure. Yeah, and I mean, that's great that you can get someone who is willing to, you know, notify you when there's a problem with the elevator. I know that's not always the case, so that's great that you have those resources available to you as well. And so we are running a little low on time, but I do want to talk a little bit along those lines about you and Sierra. So on the podcast so far, the concept of disability and romance has been a major component. And you know, I'm always fascinated to learn how inter-abled couples are able to work through obstacles together. So if you could just talk a little bit about your relationship and, you know, what are some of the obstacles related to your disability that you've come across and you've had to work through?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, a little bit about Sierra and I, you know, we met in high school. We knew each other in passing. We started talking, you know, we really started falling for each other. We've been together about 7 years. So we've got to experience high school, college, and then now and living together. So it's really been great, you know, growing together and experiencing different aspects of life. I'd say challenges we face, you know, just from a social aspect, I'd say is, you know, just some lack of, or, you know, understanding from, you know, family and friends. You know, you're curious, you know, they don't understand. That being said, you know, the biggest remedy to that has just been, we don't care, you know, about what, you know, anybody in the family, if they have anything negative to say about it, or if they think we should do, you know, otherwise, or, you know, we don't care. We know what we want, and we make it work. Sierra and I are a highly effective couple, just, you know, since I've graduated college, we've moved 3 times. It's a great team because, You know, I'm kind of the planner behind everything. You know, I handle all the logistics and all the arrangements and everything. So I'd say a really big testament to our success is how her and I supplement off of each other. And, you know, just keep on doing that.
Sure, sure. And, you know, the communication aspect. And it is interesting hearing from other stories similar to you guys about how families and friends react and, you know, how they deal with the negativity. So I appreciate you sharing that. And
it's a lack of understanding, you know?
Sure, sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. And so, you know, we are running a little low on time here, but thank you, you know, just for sharing all this and your story. But in closing, if you could just, you know, you are happily engaged, working full time, living independently. So as someone with SMA who is doing all those things, do you have any advice for other SMA individuals or just anyone with physical disabilities who wants to live and do those kinds of things and live independently? Do you have just any advice for them?
Yeah, great question. If you're wanting to strive for independence as an individual with SMA or, you know, a similar disability, the first thing is what can you do? You know, if you, I like to tell people that if you can use a computer, you know, if you can play Xbox and you can play PlayStation or you can get on your computer, then you can be a software engineer. You can be a financial advisor. You can be an accountant. You can use technology. And even if you have trouble, you know, using technology in its, you know, original state with a keyboard, there's tons of adaptive equipment out there. I think a big barrier to a lot of disabled folks entering the workforce is they overstate what they cannot do. There's, like I said, the adaptive care and the equipment available, and you can do a lot of stuff if you can move a couple of your fingers. Kind of going off that, you know, attitude and outlook, the next best thing is, you know, if you're disabled and you need to be independent, you need to be very realistic about your choices in terms of an education and, you know, what you structure your academic, you know, your academics to look like. You know, if you're disabled, you know, you have to keep in mind very limited physically. So you want to kind of align your studies with an industry that will allow you to kind of work from your from a computer, and then you're going to make, you know, decent money. Especially, you know, with, you know, there's already so many with the right education. So if you're disabled and you're getting an education, I think it is extremely critical to make the kind of balance in your passions. That's very important. But you also want to maximize your value that you're going to create for yourself. Or, you know, the more you maximize your value, then the more you're going to be able to support yourself in the end and live out the things that you didn't think you were going to be able to before.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that's great advice. And I'm glad that, you know, you're reaching all of your goals, and just wish you the best. But and actually, to our listeners out there, so Josh and I actually met years ago at one of the Cure SMA conferences. I don't even remember which one was our first, but that's how, you know, we connected originally when we were kids, and we've kept in touch ever since. So I just encourage all SMA families, patients, individuals out there that going to conferences like that is a really good way to connect with other people and hear their stories. So Josh, I just want to say thanks for, you know, coming on today and sharing your story with us.
Yeah. Thank you so much for enjoying the opportunity to be able to kind of talk about, you know, some of my story and some of the things that I've been able to do. So, you know, thanks.
Absolutely. And this was a lot of fun. So, you know, to listen to more stories like Josh's, you can subscribe now to the SMA News Today podcast. All our episodes are available on iTunes, Podbean, SoundCloud, and here on our website at smanewstoday.com. Be sure to follow SMA News Today for daily digital coverage of spinal muscular atrophy. I'm Kevin Schaefer, community editor and host of the SMA News Today podcast. We'll see you next time.